Tell you what, that makes me just need to want to have a shouting spell, don't y'all? Woo! Not too busy to care about you. Boy, you just think about that. A God that's got all this going on, taking care of everything, but He still knows your name. He knows you personally, and He cares about you. Woo! That's special to me. All right, I said I was going to preach about hide and go seek. Here we go. We'll see how this carries out. I prayed about it, and God said, that's where I want you to go. I think about hide and go seek. You know, it's something that we used to do quite often as children growing up. Anytime you got a group together, you know, we had to do something. We didn't get to sit in the house under mom and daddy's feet. I mean, we had to get out, and we'd get out in the yard, and we'd be playing. One or all of a sudden got snake bit. I've hid out in a lot of brush piles. But when the game of hide and go seek started, we'd all gang up and we'd get together and we'd make an agreement about what was going to be home base. Y'all ever play? Everybody had to be in agreement. Okay, now maybe this specific tree or this specific rock or the corner of the porch or something, that was going to be home base. Now, what I'm getting out of this is that we agreed that there need to be a home base for us to continue the game. All right. You're thinking, well, what's that got to do with me? I believe churches are home bases. Amen. I believe the church is a home base that we have to agree on a certain place that that's going to be our home base. And you know, the whole project of the game as we was playing as children was, you know, we'd go hide and somebody would be it. There's still an it. His name is Satan. That try to hinder you from getting home, you know. Try to get back to base. And we'd play, you know, and somebody would be it. I never did like to be it, did y'all? But, you know, when it failed your turn, and everybody would go hide, and then this person that was it had to go hunt everybody else, and you'd try to, sneak by them or catch them off over here and outrun them to the base, and you get to home base. And I remember tagging base and thinking, I'm safe. Hope that's the way you feel at this church, that you've got to home base and you feel safe. Because this is where God's directed you and this is where God's placed you to worship and praise Him as an almighty God. Now, you think, well, that's just a kid's game. Well, you know, I've noticed as pastor in the last few years, well, more than I want to talk about, but I've noticed that, you know, I'll go visit somebody at the hospital. I'll go visit somebody at the nursing home, and their desire is to get home. Everybody you talk to, I just want to get home. So this childish game carries over all through life. You know, I talk to people that's been on vacations, and they'll go on vacation, and they'll stay in some place that's really nicer than their house. But is there anybody here that can't say that when home comes in sight, you don't feel a little proud of it? You just want to get home. You just want to get home. Now, y'all think about that a minute. You know anybody that you visit the hospital that say, I don't want to go home, I'm just going to stay here. I ain't had that yet. That could happen. I've had some strange things in life, don't misunderstand. But that hadn't happened to me yet. Then I go visit somebody and say, I think I'll just hang out here the next 15, 20 years. I don't think I'll go back home. There's a desire to go to home, ain't there? Your mama wants to go home, don't she? But I don't know what she's talking about, a house. I think she's talking heavenly home. And that happens too. Hide and go seek. The first thing you'd need to do here today is determine where's your home base. What are you going to declare that this is what I'm trying to get back to? This is where I'm trying to be, home base. Very important in a Christian life. I believe Christians need a home base. They need a place that they work through. You know, I've read to you and preached to you the scripture that if you're going to work for God, 99% of it's going to be through the church. And so we need a home base. Let's read just a few verses of scripture this morning. I'm not going to hold you long. We got a lot going on today. About getting home. I want to read to you a man that had a desire to get home. If you'll turn over to Genesis. Genesis chapter 27. We're going to read about Esau and Jacob just for a few minutes. Now, leading up to this, I'm going to start Genesis chapter 27, verse 41. It's where I'm going to start. But leading up to this, you know, there had been a deception between Esau and Jacob. Jacob had actually tricked Esau out of his birthright. And it was a deception. And so I want you to understand that anytime we deceive or there's deception taking place that we have to, that we might gain by it, it won't ever work out for long. I mean, there's always a penalty to pay on deception. So Esau and Jacob had a little problem, a little dissension between them. And chapter 27, Genesis 27, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning of my father are at hand, and then I will slay my brother Jacob. Now, that's some pretty hard feelings. You know, he wasn't just mad or just fuzzed up. He said, I'm going to kill him. And so I want you to think about that thought that Esau was having. He said, I'm going to slay my brother. I'm going to kill him. And I thought about, okay, here's the problem that some of us face a lot of times, but look at how they handled it. And these words of Esau, an elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, my brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, and my brother. Herod. And so the mother makes a decision that she's going to send this son away for his own protection, his own safety. But in verse 44, it said, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Now, before he ever left, there was a plan to get back home. Can y'all see that? Before he ever left, they was expecting him back. Although there'd been this dissension, there'd been this problem between them, the mother's saying, this can pass. This can blow over after a while, a few days. He said, just go stay with my brother until this goes over, and then I want you to come back home. I think God's inviting people back home. I do. I truly do. I believe I can tell by the attendance of this church that God is inviting people back home, that he's inviting them back to the place of safety, to home base. And it's a game of life. And so the plan was made that he's going to go away till the anger turned away and he got things kind of in order and he was going to come back. Now, I want to continue in this just a minute. When he went down to stay at his mother's brother, when he went down to stay, I want you to know the whole time he was there, he prospered. God let him prosper in so many things. He gained flocks. He gained herds of sheep and goats and cattle and all kind of things. He gained children and wives and all these things God had blessed him in. But everything he accomplished and everything he had never replaced that desire to go home. He still wanted to go home. Didn't matter how rich he was. Didn't matter how good it was down in that strange land. He wanted to get back to his land, his company, his people, his home. I believe that's the desire God puts in Christians, that they have a home base. That they have a desire that they get back to where they used to be. And so when we deal with this and see, he gained a lot of stuff. He was very successful down there. And all this went on. But in chapter 32, if you'll turn there with me in verse 1, we're dealing with Jacob and his desire to go home. He's got it made pretty much down there with father-in-law and all his children growing up. And he's in a good land. He's gaining cattle. He's gaining goats and sheep and all these things. But he's not satisfied. I'm thankful to God that he instills in his children a home base and a place that they need to be. And I don't believe it ever leaves their mind or their heart completely. Now, they might get way out somewhere and be away from home base and away from God. But I'm going to tell you, God's still dealing with them. He continued dealing with Jacob. He never let up on him. He put that desire in his heart. He said, this is where you belong. Get back there. So Jacob decides, he said, I know all this is good, everything's great going on down here, I'm gaining all this stuff, but I'm going home. Now, he made that decision in his heart and his mind. And I want to preach to you that you can make the same decision right here today. Say, I'm going home. I'm going to get back where God wants me to be. I'm going to tag home plate. I'm not going to let the enemy hinder me. I'm not going to let it hinder me. It's a big word. How many of y'all has ever had to be it? I heard some hands going up, so you know what I'm talking about. It's a big word, covers a lot of things. It can hinder you from getting back home where you're supposed to be. It could be riches or things of the world. It could be sinful lives. It could be all kind of things. It is a great big word. But in chapter 32 in Genesis, verse 1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Glory be to God. I'm telling you to know that when he made his decision, he's going home. What happened? The angels of God meet him and help him return. And so if in your mind you think, I'm going to get back where I'm supposed to be with God, I'm going to get back in the church where I'm supposed to be, I'm going to tell you, the angels of God may meet you and help you on that way. We've got a great help and a great God that loves us and wants us to be where he wants us to be, not where we want to be. Verse 2, and when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, into the land of Seir, to the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob, thus said, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants, and have sent to tell thee, my lord, that I may find grace in thy sight. He's going home. He's sending word down to the mad brother. He said, I'm coming home. I'm on my way back. And he starts trying a little bribery here. He said, starts talking about all the flocks and the herds and the cattle and the men servants and maid servants he had. I think it was a little bit of bribery. Bribery won't get you back home. It takes God's grace. It takes forgiveness on both sides. Now I'm going to tell you, he has decided, okay, there's opposition against me, and there's a mad brother down there, but I'm going home. I don't care what it takes. Decision we need to make in our hearts and minds that, hey, this is my place, and this is where I'm going to be. In verse 6, and the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he said, divided the people that was with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels unto two bands. Notice he didn't stop progressing. He didn't stop his journey going home. He started making arrangements. Now, when he sent word out to Esau and the words came back to him, he said, yeah, Esau's coming to meet you. But said he's got 400 men with him. That don't sound like a welcoming party, does it? It don't to me, it just don't sound like a welcoming party. It sounds more like a war party. And you know, in his mind, he had to be wondering, I wonder how Esau's taking all this. I wonder how he's handling all this. I wonder if he's going to forgive me. There's no way to find out except go meet him. If some problem between you and somebody else have got you out of this church or any other church, you need to settle it. And there ain't no way to be settled except you're going to have to go back. Pretty plain. You know, that ain't too hard to understand what God would have us to do, is it? Here's Jacob. He said, I'm going home. Esau said, I'm going to meet him. And you get thinking about what's going on. It don't sound too favorable, but Jacob had the promise of God because he had met the angel of God, the host of God, and God said, I'm going to help you through this. I'm going to help you make it home. And I'm so thankful for that, that if you're serious about getting home and getting back in church and getting where God wants you to be, that not only your ability, but the ability and the power of God is going to help you with it. In chapter 33, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came. And with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids, and he put the handmaids and her children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. I want you to see he's coming back humbled. He's coming back with humility. He's not coming back as he rules a roost or this or that. The first thing he did, God humbled him and brought him back to that spot. Bowed himself to the ground seven times. Humility, being humble. You want to get back? Go humble. go humble. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. I'm telling you, some of the greatest reunions I've ever saw in life is when family members have had a problem over the years and they make it right. I've had experience in church up Straightway one time. Had some brothers attending there, came every Sunday, wouldn't even speak to each other. Until God's word got to them one day and they met in the center aisle. And I'm talking about two older guys that hugged and embraced. I thought this going down. I thought, is this a wrestling match? But no, they had 25, 30 years to make up for. And so I want us to understand hide and seek, home base. If you're hiding out, God's seeking you. There's no doubt in that. If you're hiding out, God's looking for you. And you want to know the good thing about that? He already knows where you're at. All he's doing is just giving you time to show yourself, to start back toward home base, and he'll help you every step of the way. In verse 5, and he lifted his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are these with thee? And he said, the children which God had graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near and their children, and they bowed themselves. So not only was he humble, his family was humble. I like that illustration that dad still makes a difference in families. Everybody shake your hand, say amen. I'm telling you, dad still today makes a difference in families. And you know, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't know if I do or not, then just step up and go ahead and make the difference. Move forward with it. A good thought in that. But he told them, he said, this is the ones I've met. This is what I've gained. And you'll see that he was received back, and Jacob got to go home. His desire fulfilled by God. If there's a desire in your heart, I want to get home. Home's where God is. Amen. Home is with Jesus. Where is Jesus? He's the body, the head of the church. So you think about that. You know, you want to be home. You want to get to home place. You want to see that special time. Come home to the Lord. Quit playing hide and seek. Don't hide out anymore. He knows where you're at already. You know, I talked to a guy a while back. He said, I've been running from the Lord. I said, you've wasted your time. I said, you've run, you're out of breath, and he's still in front of you, and he's not. You know, God's ahead of you in all situations. I'm going to stop right there. We're going to have a verse for song. Anybody that needs to come and pray, you're welcome to come to this altar. Any needs you have in life, whatever it might be for salvation, maybe you've run a little bit and hid a little bit from God. I don't know. But it's time. You know, if you've been playing hide and seek, the game's over. It's over. It's up. Time to make something different. If you need a home base and hadn't set one, if God's led you to this church, we'd take you as a member. If God hadn't led you here, just hold off and keep coming until he does or moves you somewhere else. That's the kind of members we need at New Salem Baptist Church. Ones that God sent this way, because that's the ones he can use. You've been hunting a base. You've been away from a base. And maybe your time. Need to be saved. All that can happen right here today. Just need to repent. You know, I see times in my life I just need to repent, you know. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. And oh, by the way, y'all are too. You know, and you're thinking, well, he's awful judgmental. No, I'm just quoting God. You know, I'm not judging you. Ain't my job. Talked to a man in the hospital the other day. I guess throwed him a little bit of a curve. Sitting there talking to him, he said, well, I've been so mean, and I've been so nasty, and I've been so bad all my life. He said, I deserve to go to hell. I said, amen. You do. He looked kind of shocked. I said, we all deserve to go to hell. I said, we don't have to. We got Jesus Christ to get us out. I said, hey, Jack, you're ahead of the game. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're a step ahead of a lot of people for salvation. I said, I talk to people all the time about their soul being saved. I said, a lot of times they think they're so good they don't need nothing. I said, you've admitted to me that you're a sinner. Amen. You deserve hell. So he's closer than a lot of goody two-shoes that I talk to. They'll tell me, what's wrong with the way I do it? What's wrong with it? Because it's not God's way, it's their way. Yeah, Jack looked shocked. He said, I deserve hell. I said, amen, you do. He'd laying there at that time, thought he's on deathbed. But since we met, since we prayed, they decided It wasn't cancer. It just did gallbladder rupture. They took it out. He's gone home. Praise the Lord. God works in mysterious ways, don't he? But he pinned him down long enough for me to talk to him about the Lord. Well, I appreciate every opportunity I get. Y'all stand to your feet. We're going to sing a verse of a song.